Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 77 of the Uncovered Podcast. I'm your host, Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Kimber, who you can find absolutely everywhere. We've got a fair few things to go over today, Jared, but I think the best place to start is in complete Dhoni-esque fashion. MS Dhoni relinquished his CSK captaincy at the 11th hour, and the job is now with Rituraj Gaikwad. And he has brought back the early Dhoni hair. I mean, some people will like that, some people won't. I'm not a fan of the way it looks, but I appreciate the hit of nostalgia. But, you know, all of this just screams MS Dhoni, each and every move.
Yeah, I thought when he first put a new role this season, I was like, this isn't going to be an ad. Unfortunately, so many cricketers now, when they tweet something like that, I just think, oh, they're going to flog me something or whatever. And I'm not against players doing ads. Obviously, I want them to be able to make their money. But I hate it when they do it by being cryptic or big announcement coming. It's like, big announcement. I now have a new shoe resoling sponsorship. Look, he's given the captaincy up once before.
And took it back.
So when he stops playing, and I don't know if you watched that first game, but he was still captaining.
Oh, yes.
It was he had his arms going in every direction. So he was still very much involved. So if someone else is going up out and doing the toss, I'm fine with that. If Gaikwad is obviously a good young cricketer and, there's plenty for him to learn and develop and everything else, you're not going to get a better brain to be able to pick than Dhoni, but it did feel that they were doing it in tandem anyway. So maybe not captain in name, but it's the end of an era, right? Like, in multiple ways, but, Virat Kohli, MS Dhoni and Rohit Sharma are at the end. They are, we might still get a couple of good years out of them. But this is it. We're about to move on to that next generation. The next generation will be the first generation of IPL players who are famous for the IPL rather than for India. And that's a little bit different with Rohit and Virat because they kind of made their name through the IPL, but the Indian team was still, the biggest show in town. Whereas now that next generation of players is probably going to be that first proper grown up. They've grown up wanting to be IPL players. They are now IPL stars and now they're taking over their teams. That's a whole different ball game than anything else. And that will be fascinating to see how that goes because we've already started to see that Rohit versus Virat split and Hardik being booed by Gujarat and players aren't now instantly loved just being for Indian stars the way that they once were. So it really is a new world.
I mean, Hardik Pandya was being cussed out of some of those things that were being said, you won't understand them. I did. They weren't right. Like, you don't want to do that to your national cricketer. You can't swear at someone en masse. But anyway.
You never sat in a Victorian game for a Sheffield Shield match before, I could see. So we did it all the time. I apologize to Glenn McGrath for everything, me and my friends.
But I really enjoyed that Bharat Sundaresan tweet where he said that Dhoni's hair now looks like the mane of the CSK lion. And we don't know how long he's going to play for. But and I'm not a fan of Dhoni's long hair, even though I do generally like long hair. But I do really, really like the fact that in the twilight years of his career, where this might even be his last season, he's brought back a retro Dhoni look. So yeah, that thing I appreciate. Anyway, the IPL has introduced the smart replay system this year, Jared, and you see all of these multiple screens whenever there's a DRS shout. You see the third umpire, you see the players, which I don't think adds any value. You take the players out of it, give me another screen and another angle, but you see 2 to 3 angles as well. They did this to kind of save some time so that not a lot of time is wasted every time they go to the third umpire. Because, in the IPL, they go upstairs for wides, etc. as well, right? And especially now with 2 bounces, they're going to be going for wides more, I'm assuming. So, fan of the system, do you think it makes sense?
Yeah, the 100 were the first team to do, the first league to do this, weren't they? Where they kind of made it a very similar. Look, it's people working with the, you know how I feel about this. A third umpire should be specialists, but also they should be working with a team that they understand.
You know what they shouldn't be is commentators. Yeah,
definitely. But there were still mistakes made. There was one where they kept having a look to see whether it was an inside edge. And I'm like, oh, there's a camera angle that will tell you this. You don't need to look at ultra edge 54 times. So there are little things that we can still do it. But I expect it to be, hopefully it'll be quicker. Hopefully it'll be smarter. And this is the future of DRS is specialist teams working together, understanding what each one needs to do and how to learn. And then the ICC can go back to those teams and go, do you know what? You guys get we think you get these decisions wrong. We think you're not looking at these angles. They can all work together and get better. That's exactly what it should be. So I'm more than happy with that. I mean, you know, when I had a look at the 100 and they did a similar kind of thing, IPL's done it slightly differently, but it seems very inspired by what the 100 did. It just seems smarter. And we're getting closer to specialist third umpires working with specialist teams where, as you said, with multiple options in front of them, it's not just part of the TV broadcast anymore. That's where we need
I'm
to go.
I'm fine with the setup. I just have a little feedback for anyone who is, managing the IPL and the broadcast. Just give us,
they're all listening.
Us, the spectators, all angles on the actual action. We don't need to see the third umpires or the cricketers at that point, right? We just need to see the action.
I think you're right. They do that sometimes in the NBA and the football too. How many times do you see like an NBA ref or a football ref going over and you're watching them watch something? Just show me what they're looking at. Well, I don't need to see this. This middle-aged man bending over. What? Why would you think I would need to? Yeah. I understand. You've told me what he's doing. Give me a quick little three-second shot of that. Now I understand. Now let's have a look what he's looking at so we can have a look at that. No, I'm
there's no reason
that.
Why I need to examine how bald Alex Worf's
there
head
are
is.
But Alex Worf, I felt bad for him. No one put makeup on his head before he went in. That was like, it was shiny. His head was all shiny. The camera angle was terrible on him. Like, let's look after these people.
Anyway. Moving on away from the IPL, let's talk about Wanindu Hasaranga and how he has unretired from Test cricket. So, in the previous series, I believe Sri Lanka were playing Afghanistan. He had a spat with the umpire over a no-ball call and copped a suspension, right? Served that suspension, came back, played Bangladesh, copped another suspension. Now, he and the SLC combined to play 4D chess where Wanindu Hasaranga unretires from Test cricket. Serves that suspension in those test matches that he is slated in to miss and then flies over to the IPL. So a lot of people have not taken kindly to this. They're saying that this is against the spirit or whatever and this is just cheating. But I think that was quite smart because Hasaranga probably does not want to miss any T20 World Cup games. And, you know, he's the captain. And he just needs to stop fighting with the umpires. But other than that, I think that this was quite a smart ploy.
If you need your pitch changed, well, NordVPN can doctor any surface to a new location so that your IP address is set for you to win. Want to watch a game on a free stream in another hemisphere? Give NordVPN the ball. Or if you just want to watch a clip on social media that a cricket board won't allow, promote NordVPN to pinch hit. So if you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months and gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a bowler protects the boundaries in the death overs with nordvpn.com/Kimber today. No, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
It wasn't. Because he's been banned from the IPL.
Yes,
well.
But he'd take that, right?
No, he wouldn't. That's where he's going to make more money. I don't think he did it for the World Cup. I think he did it for the IPL. I think he thought he could cheat the system. I think he thought he could unretire from Test cricket, say he was available, and then instantly say, oh, but you're banned from this. And then he could just go hop over to the IPL and start playing. No, because he looks like an idiot. And he's embarrassed the Sri Lankan cricket as well. And he still missed out on his IPL money. You might be right. At least he'll be in a situation now where he'll be able to play in the World Cup. But I think he would have been able to anyway. So, maybe he should just stop abusing people. Let's start
respect
with that.
The umpires. Let's work. Do. That's a start.
Yeah, I would start there. No, I just thought the whole. I think he tried to play 5D chess on a checkers board, right? And you know, I'm not there, and I don't. But you know, sometimes you have all these conversations, and you're like. You know, like you'll have some friend who's like, I know how to make money. We can make money. We can do this, and this. And then you start it. It's like, have you ever seen the Seinfeld episode where they try and return the cans to get a refund because you get a refund in certain states when you buy a can? And so they're like, how do we take all the cans from New York and take them over to another place to get them? And you have this genius. And of course, it always unravels. That's what this is. This, essentially, Hasaranga is the Newman of cricket. Or the Kramer of cricket, which, you know, make your choice here. And it's just like, I get it. I get whether it be, I don't know. I know his agent. I don't know. I'd be shocked if his agent advise that this was a good idea, but certainly someone he had a conversation with, and he's like, "Hey, let's do it. This is genius." And then after, and the ICC is like, "No, we're just going to move you back to something else." Like,
yeah, I mean, if he has gotten banned in the IPL, then I suppose then that is a big loss.
Well, he didn't play the first game, and I'm just having a look here. India Today says Hasaranga, had the ban not been there, Hasaranga wouldn't have played the first few games for the IPL. So now the ban is in place. It means the all-rounder is available for the entire one. That was 5 days ago. So I was told directly that that was not the case. I was told that he was going to be missing the start of the IPL because of the ban. Or at least it had to go. Are we on test one or test two?
We are on test one. Oh, well, we're done with test one.
Yeah. So he can't play cricket until the end of... So he's not actually banned from the IPL. He's banned
the second test ends.
The end. Yes. So, which means he is banned from the start of the IPL, even if he's not banned in the IPL. And to be honest, this happened about a week ago, right? And we all got really excited and started laughing about it and everything. But my understanding at the time was that he thought he would just do that, not playing the test, and then head off to the IPL. And then that wasn't what was the case. I'm more than happy to say I'm wrong and all that, because I did make a few calls and then it stopped being a news story and I kind of forgot about it. But my understanding is that he tried to play, you know, this incredible move. And in the end, it was like, no, you still have to serve the suspension. That's what the
not
suspension
just that,
is.
Jared. He's probably going to have to play a novelty test now just to make, like, prove that point that, hey, no, I wanted to play test cricket again after I retired in August, because otherwise it won't make sense. The SLC has said that this wasn't pre-planned and that he wanted to come out of retirement. So now he's going to have to play a test match, isn't he?
That's okay. Let's be honest. That's nonsense, right? No way was he going to unretire to play test cricket during an IPL series.
Yeah.
No. Do they think we're idiots? No one believes that.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not saying he would never want to come back and play test cricket, because he's played test cricket already, right? He played a couple of test matches. I don't think he did very well in them. I think his bowling average is like 80 or something ridiculous, right? And not having a go, we know how talented he is. I think he's better than an 80 test.
I think he's got four wickets in four test matches. I think that's what it is.
It's not the best strike rate, is it? But no, if he was going to unretire and play test cricket, fine. I'm bored. I'm with you. If he's going to unretire and play test cricket during the IPL, no, you're full of shit.
Anyway, we've got a super chat over here by Path Right Winger. So it's the latest comment, actually. He's sent the super chat as a standalone thing. Guys, just add your question to the super chat thing. Anyway.
It doesn't. So there's something about the super chat that doesn't allow you to put as many letters in as a normal message. But just remember, those are the ones we are much more likely to miss. Not that we didn't miss one with Path before, because we did room one out. But it's a lot tougher for us.
Anyway, Path Right Winger asks, was Irfan Pathan good or was it pretty privileged? Umesh at the death is a US politician. Would you have gone for Umarzai Spencer? Hey, Umesh got those wickets, right? He won them the game ultimately. So I don't think you can say anything to him. Irfan Pathan was the player of the match in the first ever T20 World Cup finals. So there's that.
When he means pretty privileged, he means that Irfan Pathan is a very attractive man. And
that's why attractive bowler, because that bowling action in his peak years was quite attractive, I suppose. I'm assuming.
I mean, he averaged 31 with the bat and averaged 32 with the ball. I would have thought that's the reason he played test cricket.
I think he's talking about T20s over here, I suppose, because test cricket, he shouldn't have raised a question. He got a hat trick in the first over versus Pakistan in a test match that India lost, but that was still an iconic moment because it was in Pakistan. Won them.
Well, his T20 international bowling average is 22, at an average of 26 at 7.6 in T20 cricket. I mean, he looks like a pretty good player to me. He has the Derek Pringle issue, right? You know, and we've talked about this a lot before, that if you're an all-rounder, you're kind of in a situation where you could go in either direction, right? He's probably a plus player at international level in most formats, just looking at those numbers very, very quickly. But he wasn't good enough to be a frontline bowler, and he probably wasn't good enough to be a frontline batter.
Dhoni opened with him as well at one point. He scored 90-odd. And then, you know, he was kind of...
opened the batting.
He was kind of all over the place. And Irfan Pathan, like, I see, Path, you've mentioned in the comments that he was seen as a superstar in Indian cricket growing up. I think that he was so talented and skilled, and Wasim was working with him, you know, back in the day as well, taught him a few things, that people expected a lot of out of Irfan Pathan. And the start of his career kind of, you know, validated that, yes, this kid is special. He is a prodigy. Just didn't live up to it. Dropped a few clicks of this bowling.
I mean, you say he didn't live up to it. Do you know how hard it is to be able to average 32 with the ball in Test cricket and still average over 30 with the bat? My guess is that those numbers are rare air, right? Over, let's have a look in how many tests he played. Almost 30 test matches. And this is what I mean. If you take those numbers and you convert them to a specialist bowler or to a specialist batter, and what you were saying is that batter probably averaged mid-40s, or that bowler probably averaged 27, 28. There are bowlers who have averaged 27, 28 who are thought of as greats of their nations, right? There are guys who have averaged mid-40s with the bat who are thought of as greats of their nation, right? But when it's an all-rounder and it's 30 and 30 or 30 and 32 in this case, you get a little bit like, oh, he's not really that good at that. And he's not really. That's why I was going to the Pringle Botham thing, right? As all-rounders, we never, guys who are good, handy all-rounders, which is exactly what he was, a plus all-rounder is what he was, right? But he wasn't good at anything. Oh, sorry, wasn't great at anything. Quite often become laughingstocks. Derek Pringle, right? Shane Watson. You know, you can go through the whole history of them. There's hundreds of them. And we all laugh at them. Mitch Marsh was one of them for ages, right? And that, but that's because we don't look at the overall impact. And what a cricket team is looking at is, yeah, okay, we know he's going to bat at number seven and he's not going to be as good as we need him to be, right? But we also know that because he bats at number seven, we now have the ability to have five bowlers, right? So we're going to take a slight discount on our number seven position, maybe, although in Irfan's case, not that much. But it gives us a fifth bowler who has a really specialist skill as well. We know he's going to be really good with that new ball and then afterwards not as good, right? So that is why those players are important. If you were looking at those numbers, and it depends on whichever format you want to look at, that is a good player, but it is not, it doesn't look like that in the numbers because he looks average on everything. But if you can be average in two different skills, you're actually a really, really, really handy cricketer. And I think the more I've worked in cricket and the more I understand about assembling teams and everything like that, you do realize that those sorts of players are really, really important. And we have always not respected them enough, probably since World War II onwards. Before World War II, those players used to get the most respect. Well, he can do both, right? And now it's like, oh, but he doesn't average 40 with the bat. It's like, yeah, because he averages 32 with the ball. Oh, but that's not a great average. That's a good, solid average, though, right? Like, he can do both of these things. And so I think Irfan Pathan is a far better cricketer than his current reputation.
I mean, I think he definitely was a really, really good cricketer for India. Maybe he didn't live up to that expectation of being their prime bowler for years on years to come, right? Because that's how he kind of started. But I think his batting kind of made up for it. But anyway, on that note, let's take a break. You're watching Uncovered with Jared and Behram, and we'll be back with more content for you guys off the field after this ad. Hello and welcome back to Uncovered. You guys are with Jared and Behram. Before we move on to other news, Amar is asking in the comments that why I haven't broken my fast. I have. We take these ad breaks. What do you think I do during them? I did break my fast. Anyway.
I thought you were doing push-ups.
Yeah, no, not at all. I'm not Misbah. Speaking of Misbah, there's a lot of Pakistan news that I have to update you on, Jared. A lot has happened over the weekend.
You've got to be quick because you know the IPL game
and they
started.
Do not believe in calm and quiet Sundays because everything happened on a Sunday. So Imad Wasim has unretired and Mohammad Amir is also unretired. They're both available for T20 World Cup selection. And what's interesting over here is that the PCB has kind of, in an uncharacteristic way, given them that flexibility that, hey, you guys can go and play your leagues whenever, just be available for this T20 World Cup. And they've been given that assurance, which is quite unprecedented and quite out of the blue based on what was happening thus far. I mean, with the whole Haris Rauf situation, even his central contract has been restored and he's back. So the PCB woke up and chose reform, so it seems.
I mean, it's just, everything there is quite sensible. I think there are a lot of players in Pakistan. I mean, not Pakistan in general, but I think there are a lot of players in some countries who just retire because of issues with boards. And in Pakistan, if you're retiring because of an issue with the board, you need to know that in 5 minutes later, there will be a new board. There will be a new chairman. There will be a new CEO. There will be a new selection. There will be new coaching. And it's a little bit ridiculous because there's so many retirements and then unretirements and then retirements and then unretirements. But I also understand the other side of it is it's kind of hard to plan your future as a franchise player when you're like, okay, well, this league needs me for this and this league needs me for this and I've got all that. And it's like, and now Pakistan's got an injury, so I now have to go play for the national team and I've now lost that contract. Now next year that owner doesn't want me to come back. So it's getting to that kind of icky side of things. So I do understand why these players retire, but at the same time, it does seem a little bit silly. So we're in a sort of, what's the best way of putting it? We're in the silly season of T20 leagues, right? Where, you know, we just talked about with Hasaranga, there's all this weirdness sort of happening at the moment, and how often you make yourself available for your national side and all those sorts of things is a really big issue. But good for Pakistan cricket that they're making grown-up decisions, right? That's all.
I think reinstating Haris Rauf back with the central contract was a great move because that was bizarre all over. Like, I'm happy that's resolved. And then, sure, I don't think they need Amir in the first string team, but he's a good bench option, I suppose, because you've got Shaheen, Naseem and Imad, all power play bowlers. So I don't see how Amir fits over there. A lot of people have said that they want to use him in the death, but I don't. He's been better at the death. He's just not a death bowler for me. But another major thing that's happened in the PCB is that they've diluted Wahab Riaz's power as chief selector. So now Wahab will be one of four selectors. Mohammad Yusuf is in, Razak is in, Asad Shafiq is in, and they've said that the coach, captain and data analyst will be a part of these discussions as well. So it's a seven-pronged selection committee, if you will. And that's better than Wahab having absolute power. That's my takeaway. It's not the best situation, but it's better.
It's better. No, you're right.
Yeah.
It's better. But let's be honest, it's still a bit nonsensical. And I just, you know, the thing is that there's no point me commenting on this, Bayram, because you and I both know that next week you're going to tell me that they've decided to get, select teams via dartboard. And the week after it will be, we've decided to select teams based on what schools you went to, starting with the letter Q. Right. So, you know, it's better than what it was, but it's still not grown up.
And I mean, correct. The players are still going to that army camp, I think, next week or maybe end of this one or something like that.
Well, I can't wait for all the extra sixes that will flow.
Yeah, and do you know the Shaheen?
Remember all those years that Chris Gayle spent in the army?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. And Shaheen isn't guaranteed a captaincy spot, by the way. They've mentioned that as well. So while they were doing all of these great things, they just wanted to add like a sparkle or sprinkle some insecurity right at the end. Like, here you go. Deal with that.
Just before the World Cup, I think the best thing you can do is say to someone, you probably won't have that job soon. Because I think that's what you want. That really helps with clarity of thought when you're leading a team.
Yeah, well, I think that's enough on that. Just quickly then, Australia have postponed their T20I series versus Afghanistan. We did an entire Footmarks podcast on this.
How can you postpone something that you were never planning on doing in the first place?
I mean, I don't understand that rationale because they've been very firm on the fact that Afghan women aren't allowed to play cricket, so we won't play cricket with the Afghanistan national team. But then why are you postponing it? And also, I'm never convinced with these sort of things because I feel like Australia are always just trying to open up their calendar and getting a few more vacations.
That's the thing is, even if they're doing it completely for the right reasons and they're trying to support the Afghanistan women's team, and I fully support that and I understand why they're doing that. As you said, we've done a couple of projects on that. Fine, good, got you, but. And the but is quite clearly that we are in a situation where we don't trust them because they've always do stuff like this. So, you know, just because I love mentioning it all the time, do you remember that time they scheduled test matches against Bangladesh? And it happened to be during the Olympics in China. And then at the last minute, they cancelled because they didn't realize that it was going to clash with the Olympics. The famous 08 Olympics that everyone knew the dates. It's the only Olympics where everyone has known when it's going to be beforehand. And somehow Cricket Australia hadn't noticed. It's nonsense, right? So, yeah, okay. They've taken a stand and at least they're backing themselves up. I'm fine with that. But I don't need to hear that every individual series has been postponed. Just say that there are no future games with Afghanistan that are going to be scheduled until, you know, that happens. And it's also, you know, and it's a bit like India and Pakistan. It's like, you still play them in the World Cup. You can pretend that that's different all that you want, but we've seen teams take political stances and not play teams during World Cups before. your political stance only matters until you're trying to win a World Cup. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about stuff
that's
like
a very
that.
Fair point. And if you guys want to know more thoughts of both myself and Jared on this topic, there is a Footmarks podcast called The Other Afghan Team. You can go check that out. That'll be all for Uncovered this week. We'll be back with another episode this next week. And whoever was in the comments with us, thank you. Like this video, share this with your friends and subscribe to both this channel and Jared's other channel on YouTube. We'll be back next week once again. That's all for today. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.